Everyone, we're glad to have you with us. We have people that are visiting. We welcome you, and we hope and trust that you'll come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. Happy Memorial Day. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we can remember those that we love and remember those who have gone into the service and fought, some who have been injured, some who've died, and just simply remember those who loved us and cared for us. And it's always good to go through the cemetery. Matt Taylor and I were visiting with Price McNatt the other night. Then right across the street there is the cemetery. And we went over there and we saw Fred Robertson's marker over his grave. My name is written there. Yes, it is. And then we saw Beth and the memorial for her. You go out in the cemetery and you just see all these various things that people have mentioned concerning those that they love. And we ask the question, how will you and I be remembered? What will be the remembrance that we have concerning ourselves? Paul was faithful to then. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. Not to me only, but unto all them that love is appearing. What a fantastic promise. And then the rich young ruler who came to Jesus in Matthew 19. You remember he asked Jesus, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? What greater question could we ask? We want to live forever. We know we're going to die. We're going to be in the cemetery someplace as far as our bodies are concerned. But we want to be concerned about what comes after this life. Jesus told him what to do, but he didn't do it. He turned away sorrowful. He was a man of great possessions. What a memory. A young man that did so many good things. This morning, there was a man whose name was Saul. People are remembered in various ways. We want to be remembered favorably. But my friends, after Saul had been given by a command of the Lord, and you know that command was very simple. God told him through Samuel, Saul, you go down to the Amalekites and you destroy them completely. He was very, very straightforward. And my friend, what a tremendous thing it is to read how God, when He speaks and He tells us what to do, that's what He expects us to do. Saul didn't do that. And as a result of it, he was rejected from being king. Now tonight we're going to hear Al Burns. Al hadn't told me yet what he's going to preach on, but anyway, I'd love to hear our preachers. Get up here and, boy, expound the truth. We love the Word of God being preached. We remember people who have given their lives, devoted their lives to preaching the gospel. Fred Evans, over in my office, there we have all kinds of remembrances concerning this great man of God. Boy, the people at O'Neill know of a man that worked hard, served God, and is remembered in such a favorable way. You like to think of folks like that. And you remember, you thank God, what a good memory. But I don't like to think about this man. This man we're talking about, who started out good, he ended up bad. I can tell you about people in the Bible who started out bad, ended up good. We can talk about people in the Bible who started out good, went to bad, and then came back to being good. This man started out good, but he ended up bad. And you know what? He didn't have respect to the commandment of God. He did not respect what God had to say. Whenever Samuel was telling him why he had been rejected, Samuel said to him, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Don't let that go over you." You think about that. What Samuel is saying, you think that you can do something other than what God has said and that this is going to be acceptable to Him? No, you can't. has God as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, boy, there's a statement. Look to, consider. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You don't substitute your will for God's will. And now notice what Saul was told. He said, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because, here's the reason. Here's why he's rejected. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Remember as Brad read to us so well this morning? You remember how that Saul said when he met Samuel, I've done the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel answers by saying, well, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the ox that I hear? If you'd done the commandment of the Lord when God said, go down and utter, destroy, take away, wipe out, get rid of everything concerning the Amalekites. They've treated my people bad in days gone by. Now then, God says, I want you to go down and wipe them off. Did you do that? Oh, we've done that. No, you didn't. Why then do I hear the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the ox? But Samuel said, that's what the people. Come on. And Saul said, that's what the people did. No, come on. You're the king. God put you in. You started out good. You won a lot of the victories. But now, you've rejected what God told you. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. That's what we remember him about. This man now is away from God simply because he didn't do what God told him to do. Yes, as a young man, humble, meek, saw the first king of the children of Israel now there in the United Kingdom. Why such great blessings, did so well for so long, and then, when God had something for him to do, God told him what to do, he substituted his will. He assumed, presumed, what he was doing would be acceptable. Because after all, he saved the king of the Amalekite nation. And now then, he can offer him as a sacrifice to God. The people had saved all the good stuff to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And look what he's saying. We meant to do good. But it's nothing good unless God authorizes it. He ended up so bad that God rejected him from being king. Number one. Three things in the lesson be yours. Don't blame others for your sins. Saul tried to do that. It won't work. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 33, Ezekiel 18, in John chapter 1, in 1 John chapter 3, rather in verse 4, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. Whosoever transgresseth does what? He breaks the law of God. When we sin, that's our choice. It's my choice. It's your choice. Not somebody else. Don't blame somebody else for your sin. One thing I liked about David, though he did terrible, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. The Bible tells us that David, when Nathan the prophet said, thou art the man. Nathan, who are you preaching to? Who are you talking to? Nathan said, David, I'm talking to you. You're the man. What did David do? You know, I don't know why Saul, when Samuel told him what he did, you would think that Saul would immediately said, I did wrong. I'm sorry. I didn't do it God's way. I wanted to do it my way. You would think he'd immediately done something about his soul. No, he started out good, but he ended up bad. And so, and just like in David said, I have sinned. I've sinned against the Lord. Don't blame somebody else for your sin. That's your sin and my sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. And we know what the wages and the payment for sin is. You're going to die. You're going to be separated. You're going to be separated forever from God. Why? Because of your sin. Now, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear your sins. My sins. I'm guilty for my sin. You are too. And so was Saul. It's not other people's fault. When we sin, we're guilty. Number two. Well, if I could get this over to all of us this morning, just this one point, I'd just be so thankful. To myself, too. Listen. Don't presume to think what you do is right if it's not in keeping with this book. Let me repeat that. Just because the person says, I feel good about this. Oh, I think it's great when a man has a good, sincere heart. Yes, I do too. But a person can be sincerely wrong. That's not acceptable to God. He can presume that what he's doing will be all right. Some of our brethren are doing that today. I don't see anything wrong with this. It's not what you don't understand or what you see. It's what God says. What does God say in Colossians 3:17? Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father through Him. Saul was told in language that you couldn't misunderstand what they were to do. You talk to people today sometimes when they come up to baptism. I feel just fine. I don't think a person has to be baptized in order to be saved. But where does the Bible say that? When the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. When the Bible says in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority given to me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Listen, observe all things I have commanded you. Presumption, assuming that our way will be acceptable to God. That's what Saul did. Saul thought, but his thinking was just like the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 4, 14, verse 12. Everyone thinks they know what God wants, but are not reading the Scripture to find out what God wants. I can't go to heaven. You can't go to heaven unless we do what the Lord tells us to do in order to get there. Listen to what Jesus said Himself in John 14, in verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Saul should have listened to God. He should not have saved King Agag. The people, he should not have allowed the people to save one animal. God had told him, I want them wiped out, completely destroyed. But he presumed what he did would be all right. Are we like that? You hear people say, I don't have to go to church to worship the Lord. I can stay home. God's going to be pleased with me because I'm going to worship in sincerity. I'll just do it at home. And yet they forget. Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. What does he want? Wants us to assemble. Why? That we might provoke one another love and good works. That we may glorify Him in John 4, 23 and 24. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That word is truth. Truth. How do we worship God? According to truth. Not according to what I think, what I want. Well, you can just go over and over and over with people, all that they're saying. I'm happy. I'm thrilled. I think I'm okay. Saul thought he was all right. I don't really think he lied whenever he met Samuel. When he said, I've done the commandment of the Lord. Have you? Samuel said, if you had, there wouldn't be any sheep. There'd be no oxen. There'd be no one here if you'd done what God told you to do. But, and he seems to argue, Saul does with Samuel. He was rejected from being king. He started out good, but he ended up bad. 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, you study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all God wants you to know and do. John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life eternal. They are they which testify of me. That's what Jesus said. But you would not come unto me that you might have life. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures daily. What did they search? Their books? What they wanted to believe in? No, they searched the Scriptures. When? They searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Because truth frees, and only truth frees. John 8 and verse 32. Number 3, obeying some of God's commands and not obedience. Saul, I've done what God wanted me to do. Oh, wait a minute. My friend, just to do some of the things that God says and not what God tells us to do, all of it, is not obedience at all. He was rejected. You got to do all that God says. Today, there are people that say you can go to heaven if you don't even believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Don't you know that God is a God of love? And I do. Don't you understand, Brother McDaniel, that God just surely loves us all? I do. And I'm thankful for that. Don't you know, Brother McDaniel, that we're saved by the grace of God? And I know it. I'm thankful for it. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. But I also know, and I believe, and I wish Saul would have listened, that look, what God tells us in His Word is what we must believe. In Matthew 7:21, can you imagine people on the day of judgment standing before the great judge, Jesus Christ? Isn't He great and wonderful? You just can't think of any greater person in the world than Jesus. Just think all that Jesus did for us. How wonderful He is. We just praise Him and glorify Him. And we thank God for Him. But, you know what? He tells us what He wants us to do. And if we don't do it, you think He's going to save you? He didn't save Saul. The Bible says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them. What if they said, Lord, Lord, they called Him Lord. They should be reminded of what He said in Luke 6:46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do? But look what Jesus said. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Why? Ye that work iniquity or engage in lawlessness, which means doing things not according to my law. Just obeying a few of the things that God wants. Saul obeyed a few of them. But you remember what happened to Saul? He was good at the beginning. He turned bad. Later on, even fell on his sword. What a terrible way to be remembered. No wonder the Bible tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. When the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured in the book of Matthew 17, 1 through 5, giving us that record, Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, there was a bright cloud that overshadowed them, and there was a voice out of that cloud that said, this is my beloved Son. Go over it again. God is speaking. God from heaven is speaking. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But God didn't stop. Will you listen to it again? God said, hear ye Him. Not preachers or what preachers might say. Not prophets or anybody else. You hear my Son. Only when we speak as God has spoken can we be pleasing unto God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Are you listening? Ah. Saul will be remembered as one who started out good, but he ended up bad. Three things. Don't blame somebody else for your sin. That's you and God. Don't presume to know why God would please God. You better make sure you have a thus saith the Lord. You speak where He speaks and remain silent where He's silent. Don't do some of the things God says and not willing to do them all. In this life, there are people that have sacrificed so much. And I mentioned at the very beginning, it's Memorial Day, who I remembered. I read some things about Abraham Lincoln. Born in poverty, Lincoln was faced with defeat throughout his life. He lost 8 elections, twice failed in business, and suffered a nervous breakdown. He could have quit many times, but he didn't. And because he didn't quit, he became one of the greatest presidents in the history of our country. Lincoln was a champion, and he never gave up. And listen, 1816... his family was forced out of their home. He had to work to support them. 1818, his mother died. 1831, failed in his business. 1832, ran for state legislature and lost. 1832, also lost his job. Wanted to go to law school, but couldn't get in. 1833, borrowed some money from a friend to begin a business. And by the end of that year, he was bankrupt. He spent the next 17 years of his life paying off this debt. 1834, ran for state legislature again. This time he won. 1835, was engaged to be married. Guess what? His sweetheart died and his heart was broken. 1836, had a total nervous breakdown and was in bed for 6 months. 1838, sought to become the Speaker of the state legislature. He was defeated. 1840, sought to become elector. Defeated. In 1843, ran for Congress. He lost. 1846, ran for Congress again. This time he won. Went to Washington, did a great job. 1848, he ran for re-election to Congress, but he lost. 1849, he sought the job of land officer in his home state. He was rejected. 1854, ran for Senate of the United States, but he lost. 1856, he sought the vice presidential nomination. His party's national convention got less than 100 votes. 1858, ran for U.S. Senate again. Again, he lost. But in 1860, he was elected the President of the United States of America. What does that say? You want to get the job done? You're going to have your ups and your downs. What are you going to be remembered for? You might start out good and fallen. But you can get up. You can repent and ask God to forgive you. And you can do better. Don't ever quit. Heaven is such a wonderful place. What a glorious thing it'll be. Finally, when this short life is all over, and we can go home to be with our Lord. Are you ready for that occasion? How will you be remembered? Great Memorial Day this weekend. We remember. How will we be remembered? Are you a Christian? Can it be inscribed on your tomb? My name is written there. Only if God add you to His church. Acts 2, verse 40. If you're not a Christian, believe in Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess His name. Be baptized right now. And if you're a Christian, you haven't lived faithfully, don't die in that condition. Ask God to forgive you. Rise up again. Walk with the Lord. He loves you. He wants you to be in heaven. This beautiful hymn that we're singing this morning, what will you do with it? Jesus Christ is right here with us this morning. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. We're asking to come to Him. Not to me, but to Him. We're asking to obey Him on this Memorial Day. What memory will there be for you and for me? Are you ready for eternity? If not, obey God now and get ready while together we stand and while we sing to encourage.
Yes, forever. turn to number 784. Number 784.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so.
Let us bow. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day and for all thy many blessings. Father, we're thankful that our lives have been spared down to this time, that we can gather around this thy table and partake of this bread, which to the Christian represents the body of our Lord and Savior, which was hung upon the cross. Father, we pray that those that partake of it do so in a manner well pleasing to thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we continue our thanks for the day, for all the many blessings in this time. Father, we're thankful for this fruit of the vine, which is Christians, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us all, Father, to examine ourselves, partake of it in a manner, and be well pleasing in your sight. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give if we've prospered.
Team number 5 helps count the contribution this morning. That's John Collins, Kobe Gooch, Eddie Gooch, John Griffin, Jay Looney, and Michael Presnell. We do appreciate the presence of everyone. We do have some visitors among us, and we appreciate your presence and invite you back at any time you can come and be with us. Number 456 will be our closing song, after which Brother Connor McKinney will lead our closing prayer. Number 456. If you like, you may stand. No tears in heaven, no sorrow given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join that happy band. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known. Some morning yonder we'll cease to ponder o'er things this life has brought to view. All will be clearer, save ones be dearer, in hand where all will be made new. No tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known.
Right and wrong. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You want to be baptized so that you can have forgiveness of your sins. We would invite you. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have public sin in your life that you need to make correction of. If there's any way that we can assist you, we would invite you to come. While together we...
Amen. Thank you.